Do you know the difference between the three main types of colon cancer screenings? This is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. I'm Lucianne Lance, and on our A Healthier Michigan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, we're going to learn all about this. Joining us is our expert, Dr. James Grant. He is Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And you're not shy. You shared your colonoscopy with all of us. I love that.
You loved it, Lucianne? I mean, no one could believe I actually did that.
I thought it was the best thing ever because it shows all of us that we can all do it. So the rates of colon cancer among younger individuals seems to be increasing. Is that correct?
Yeah, you couldn't be more correct, Lucianne. Actually, that's one of the many reasons that the recommendation used to be when you turned 50, you'd have your first colonoscopy, unless you had a family history or some other kind of specific indication for before 50. But now, as we're looking at the numbers, we really have come to the conclusion that 45 is the age that you need to start, and actually 75 is the age that you can probably stop if you're not having any other symptoms.
All right, so let's talk about, first of all, why a screening helps identify this. What is happening during these screenings in detecting colon cancer?
Lucianne, the screenings are just that. They're screenings. They're tests to check your current condition before there's any symptoms. I mean, once you get to come down to things that, you know, once you see, you know, blood in the toilet bowl, that's a sign that things are progressed along. We want to catch things early because, you know, our motto really is no one should die of colon cancer if it's caught early enough. So you get a screening, you identify a baseline, then the subsequent tests every X number of years after that, you can compare it to how the previous one was. Lucianne, colon cancer is the fourth most commonly diagnosed cancer in our country. And with regular screenings, we can treat it and we can really potentially have a great cure for it. If your problem is found on a screening test, then we can go and move to the next steps. Colon cancer screenings can save lives. And that's the one message I want to get out. Colon cancer screenings can save your life.
All right, Dr. Grant, so what are the three main types of screening tests today?
There's three. The one is the colonoscopy that you've heard of, and that still is the gold standard for colon cancer screenings. It's the most accurate way to detect colon cancers and other abnormalities of the colon and the rectum. Let me explain to you what that is. And that's a procedure where a physician will use a camera on a flexible tube, examine your colon, get to see parts and get to know parts that you didn't even know existed. Looking for any signs of change, irritation, swelling, or what we call the abnormal growths called polyps. And what happens with polyps? Polyps very often are precancerous, and they can eventually become cancer. We can take out the polyps if they're at that precancerous stage. Then we'll send it to the lab for testing. Was it a precancerous polyp? Was it a benign polyp? Or was it a cancer? It does require a bowel prep. And I'll be honest with you, I've already had a couple colonoscopies over my lifetime. The bowel preps, that's when people say, oh, I don't want to do it because of the prep. The prep really isn't actually that bad. And it's getting better, and our technology is getting better as far as the preps. But a good prep, you know, think about it. A good prep will lead a good result. I mean, what you don't want to do is have a partial prep. You have a partial prep, and we spend more time cleaning out the areas that are covering disease.
Right.
And if we
So the prep is where you're going to drink something, and it's going to clean you out. You do that the day before. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a whole process where you start with clear liquids. And then towards the end of this process, you're going to take something that gives you that final push. And people will say, well, why do I need a prep? And, you know, I'm going to talk about things that may be considered too much information, but you need a clean colon.
Right.
And it's amazing what's in our colon, and we'll sometimes sit there for days. And if we can have a clean colon, we can let your physician see what exactly is going on in the colon without having to struggle to try to clean it out themselves, because that won't do it. You know, they can touch it up a little bit, but they really to get a good screen, you have to have it clean and empty so the physician can really see the entire colon, the lining, the mucosa, you name it.
Okay, so colonoscopy is one way of doing a screening test. What is the second way?
The second way, you know, it's not nearly as good. It's, you know, we would call a flexible sigmoidoscopy. It uses a camera, it examines the colon and the rectum, but it can really, Lucianne, only see a very small part. It's less invasive, less complicated, less effective. Can't look at the whole colon. Don't really recommend it. No one really uses it for colon cancer screening, but it just exists. And the last one, and this is the one I really don't recommend, is what we call stool tests. And that's what we call a guaiac test. And that's where you get a specimen of the stool and you see if there's blood in it. That really, once you get to the point that you're seeing blood in the stool, that means something probably was a little, a little advanced, that it's already putting blood in your stool, and it's really almost small amounts of blood. So you know what, that's better than nothing, but it's just a smidgen above nothing.
Yeah. So if that happens and you take one of those tests that we see advertised all the time, where you're testing your stool, it could be too late. Whereas if you got a colonoscopy, you could have found it ahead of time and you could save your life.
Right. So Lucianne, those other tests we're talking about, I'd put under the category better than nothing. But still, there's nothing as good as a colonoscopy to actually get in there and actually take a look and actually see what you got and address it and or follow up on it or say, hey, clean to go, and you and your doctor will decide when the next time you need to have a colonoscopy.
Well, I was going to ask you that, Dr. Grant. So if you started age 45, as is recommended today, generally how many years do you wait until you have that next one?
Again, Lucianne, it depends on your history, depends on what they see. A totally clean one, they used to say 10 years. Now sometimes they'll say, 6 to 8. It all really is very conditional upon what they find in your colon, what your family history is, how you're feeling. So I would love to tell you, clean colonoscopy 10 years. But I think that's a discussion between you and your doctor.
All right. And Dr. Grant, what steps should individuals take to plan for a colon cancer screening? Generally, what should you be doing?
Talk to your primary care physician and get a referral to a physician who actually does colonoscopies. It's usually one of two physicians. It's either a gastroenterologist or a colorectal surgeon. They're the two specialties that really that is a foundation of their practices. And usually you don't need an extra exam. Sometimes you do, but often you can just call their office and schedule it and they'll find a time for you. There's plenty of places that you can have really good, solid anesthesia with a great sleep. Now, remember, that's my business, so I got to put a plug in for that. you get a good sleep. You sleep for however long it is, 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes. You wake up, you go home, and then whoever drives you can take you to the pancake house.
Colon cancer screenings. I hope your video's up there as well. AHealthierMichigan.org. Our thanks to Dr. James Grant, Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.